listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Wayne Fritz, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to another exciting episode of the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm Bruce Cameron, along with Wayne Fritz. Wayne, how's it going?
Hey, going great, Bruce. How you doing?
Well, looking good, looking good. Well, I got to start the show acknowledging my alma mater there. There's that Aggie ring. Oh.
Boy, they pulled that out. I saw a lot of that game.
Yeah. I mean, Texas A&M started the season 7th, loses to Arkansas, Mississippi State, becomes an unranked team with a backup quarterback, true freshman. And there's another freshman on the line, another true freshman on the line. I mean, these boys were literally playing high school last year, end up upsetting Arkansas by a field goal. And first time ever they saving, you know, in Arkansas. So, I mean, excuse me, Alabama.
Yes.
But look, Alabama's a fantastic ball club. They're the bullies on the block, always, you know. And so what a great upset for the Aggies. I just get goosebumps seeing the highlights and the $250,000 fine for everybody rushing the field, but best money ever spent on the SEC. You know, just people went wild, and rightfully so. So anyway, and then the Cowboys won, you know, and I'd like to say that I think Dallas Cowboys, that is, folks, I think that the Dallas Cowboys here in 2021 are looking just about as good as they ever have since their 90s Super Bowls. Are they going to the Super Bowl? I'm not saying that. But I am telling y'all that they have some really good talent. And this is a young team. Dallas Cowboys, you know, have some really good players. And they've only been there a couple of years. Some of them their first year. And they're young players. So, in theory, the Cowboys look like they have a bright future ahead of them as well. They have a commanding lead on their division right now by at least 2 games from their nearest competitor. So anyway, don't want to, you know, usually, you know, every Monday, everybody's crying in their beer about how the Cowboys screwed stuff up, you know, but trying to enjoy this season while it lasts for the Dallas Cowboys, as well as maybe A&M will get the toilet bowl or some bowl just because they beat Arkansas, right? But
I'll tell you another close game, and listen, I'm not a fan. I'm a Cowboys fan. I'm a Dallas Cowboy diehard, but my grandson is a what's that team way up north up there on the ice? Man, yeah, I saw some kind of bay. Yeah, I don't like to say the name, but they did play a good game. But they had a nail biter yesterday. So, yeah, it's been a good weekend for a lot of people. And I would say that, yes, the Dallas Cowboys will, forbearing any serious injuries to the main players, they'll head all the way to the bowl. So, and I mean Super Bowl.
They'll get something. They'll get something. And yeah. Like the playoffs, and we'll just see how far they go. And you know what? They may go the distance. You never know about that team. So, and on sad news, last night Chuck Liddell, MMA star Chuck Liddell, was arrested for domestic violence charges. Now, his wife was in the hospital or anything, but hey, they arrested him nonetheless. And so I'm getting plenty of heat today from my friends in social media for these past pictures I've posted myself with Chuck Liddell. So hope he gets the help he needs and can get through it. So, but that's the other thing, you know, it's probably no secret, no mystery that people that are boxers or MMA fighters might need, you know, anger management techniques. So,
it's sad, but you know, everybody goes through stuff, and it's sad. So
yeah,
but we can just pray for him, Pray he gets some help. He needs to call you.
He needs to call me. He has my cell phone. Actually, he does have my cell phone number. So, Chuck, if you give me a call. Yeah. If you're out, I'm sure he's out by now. But anyhow.
Anyway, hey, I was thinking before we started the call that, you know, I watched a video, and I can't remember the guy's name. Well, he's a very famous actor. He always played gangsters and stuff like that, but well-known. I just can't think of his name, but he really said something that made a lot of sense. You can't help someone up if they don't want it. You know what I mean? You can't help them up. You can attempt, you can do all you can do, but if they don't want to rise up, you can't make them rise up. But you can bring a positive person down.
Oh yeah.
And because we live in such a world that there's so much negativity going on that I think we all have to be careful how we talk to people. Even not coaching, we're all coaches in the world. I mean, every one of us, we can have an effect on someone's life. And you want to be careful because you get a positive person. You don't want to bring them down. It's called crab mentality in the Philippines, you know, where one crab tries to get out of the bucket and all the rest of them are grabbing him, bringing him back down. So, but the thing of it is those people that are on top can bring someone down. They can push somebody down. And that's what we want to be careful of. And on a positive note, I was thinking, have you ever made that last call, made one more call after the last one? You know, in your business, on advertising or getting out to companies and putting your shingle out, knocking doors or getting referrals. But have you ever made that extra call after your last call? Because, you know, so many times that extra call after your last call is the magic call.
Yeah.
It just is. It happens so many times.
I like that. Yes, I can. There are people that, let's say I'm seeing somebody and they kind of drop off the grid. I'll wait 2 or 3 weeks and then I'll call to check in on them. You know what I mean? Is everything okay? You know, hadn't heard from you. And many times what you're saying, oh, I'm so glad you called. This is going on right now. And, you know, so you're right. I think making that last call, I have resurrected a lot of client hours by doing that.
I think that, you know, our business is, and I'm saying this, I guess, because part of our, the goal of the radio program is to interest people into getting into coaching and to speak to coaches that are listening to the program. And then to maybe, if someone is not a coach or they are a coach, maybe reach out to you or myself to see about being coached. So there's a whole plethora of things that I think we offer here on this radio program. But, you know, it is a relationship. And Bruce, I'll tell you, I wouldn't be on this radio program as your honored co-host without the relationship that we've developed through the years. So I'm pretty blessed for all that kind of stuff. And I just want everybody to know that listens that relationships are so important. And even with your clients,
yep, they sure are.
Reach out and touch them. You know, if you haven't heard from them, reach out and touch them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep.
Now, I say that metaphorically speaking, right. We need to be careful how we touch them.
Right.
We don't make contact with them. Yeah. Send them a nice note. Yes, send them something positive.
Well, let's go back. I got a client this week. Talk about relationships. I got a call from a corporation a worldwide corporation that I had done some work for, some coaching and consulting work for in the past. I got a call from someone in the C-suite of that company saying that they had an employee that had an altercation, a management level person that had a somewhat of an altercation with a subordinate. And of course, a lot of the whole thing was caught on camera internally. Right. And what makes it kind of interesting is that both the parties were armed. So I'm with my federal experience, who better to call than another person who received a pension based on the ability to carry a firearm. Now I say that, and let me give you the backdrop on that with my training. So oftentimes in my career, I had to transport or be involved in the transportation of criminals. Okay. So the United States Marshal Service, that's kind of what they do, believe it or not. The United States Marshal Service, their bread and butter is transporting inmates, federal inmates. That's really, I'm going to say, about 85% of what those guys do. And so whenever you're, and you know, my components in justice, because we're the same, FBI, DEA at the time, Bureau of Prisons, FBI, Marshals, DEA, ATF, and we lost immigration to Homeland Security. So all of us, Justice Department, we get the similar training, right, on how to manage yourself carrying a gun. So if I'm carrying a gun, I'm a gunfighter. Hold on a minute. I'm not a gunfighter, but if I'm out there carrying a gun in the community, right? That's the first thing that hits my mind, is that I got to be very aware of what I'm doing. You know why? Because I'm wearing a gun. Okay, and that's where this whole conceal and carry thing is kind of cool. I like it. I love being a Texan. Look, y'all. I just said y'all. It's firearms. I get it. I'm not a gun nut by any means. I was a psych major and just somehow stumbled into this thing, really, just backwards. I know Wayne has a saying for it somewhere. But anyway. I'm taking the time here to say, look, so everything that I do, if I'm wearing a gun in public, revolves around that gun. Every decision I make, what I do, what I say, how I say it, who I interact with, because that gun kind of sets the tone for the whole interaction for me. Okay. And again, I've never carried leisurely. I'm not one of those guys like, yeah, let me just slap on a few guns and go to Taco Bell, see what happens. You know what I mean? I'd like to say I'm that guy, but I'm not that guy that does that just because I feel a need to carry a gun to go to Taco Bell. Now, talk to me at 2 a.m. if I have to go and stop 6 of Fort Worth, I might wear one. But anyway, seriously. So when you're working a job or a post that requires you to have that gun, man, and you get in a fight or altercation, how many degrees of heat does it take for you to pull that gun on that individual? Yeah. And in the realm of possibility, now, just so y'all know, no gun was pulled on anybody. Thank goodness. Thank the Lord. Okay. No gun was pulled. So, but nonetheless, the way we do this is, you know, make sure we have a full investigation from human resources, because involved a firearm, make sure you read the, I try to make sure that I get with the CEO, whoever or whomever is in charge, to read the report to see what happened. And then, you know, do a thorough assessment of the individual, of how they're doing it right now. Do they want to go through coaching? Are they undergoing any family distress? Are they on any medication? Has anybody died in their family? Are they going through a divorce? Are they going through other financial stress? Look at any other thing that could be going on, right? That's impinging on this person to, you know, they got to where they're at. They made some bad choices, right? So we have to really kind of take the extra time to rule out any other extraneous things, right, that could have contributed to this altercation, to this incident. So I wish I could find my book. I'm looking at my, where's my book? Is it there? Doggone it. Anyway, I'll bring it on next time. So there is a book that I use as part of my anger management coaching. And I've used it with police officers and SWAT team people and federal people as well as state people. And really, this book is kind of a real good book to coach people through to get their anger managed really quick. So anyhow, and, you know, managing anger could be something as simple as managing your perception of a situation. For instance, leaving my lovely office here one day, I was nearly T-boned by a Lincoln Navigator.
Oh.
I came out the green light like I'm supposed to, and this lady almost killed me, cut me in half, could have. And I was, you know, so my initial impression of that was blankety blank, how dare you, this and that. You know what I mean? You weren't paying attention, and this person had a certain pair of glasses and a certain style of hair that I was able to key on and belittle and, you know, just talk. You know, obviously I'm talking to myself. I'm not saying this to the other person, but I was mad. I was mad. And in that anger lingered with me the whole day, Wayne. I was mad the whole day.
Yep.
And indignant and mad, and how could this person do that? And I took it home to the family, and it was hard for me to sleep that night, all because of how I perceived that near car accident situation. However, in the future, now when I'll just kind of fast forward to present time, and look, we're down here. I know Sam's in LA. He's dealing with traffic. We're dealing with traffic. We see knuckleheads all the time, don't we, Wayne? All the time. 26, 114, even on the George Bush or turnpikes here, tollways here.
Yep.
You're going to see knuckleheads, or you're going to see these kids in motorcycles driving 160 miles an hour in the race, and you're going to see crazy stuff. But the people in the cars, I just try to imagine them with a sick child on the front seat that they're rushing to the hospital. That's why they're doing this. You know, their wife is delivering a baby in the back seat and she's having contractions and they have to go to the hospital, right? And actually that was me in 1997. First child almost came out of the back seat of a Pontiac.
Oh my gosh.
My humble beginnings, folks. Thank you.
That is awesome.
Thanks for sharing that, Bruce. A nice visual of her just about my first child. I was hauling. I hauled ass from the South Lake area to Medical City, Dallas on Forest. Oh, but I had hazards on and I was a gentleman. I wasn't reckless. So anyway. But I try to put that insult into another frame and not let that bother me. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. It sure does. I had when I was in my 20s, was at a convention in St. Louis with a good friend of mine was also there. And we went and worked out. That's back when I really worked out. And we were in the sauna room afterwards. And there was an old guy in there. And I say old, he's probably my age now. But he got to talking with us, and he said, boys, he said, I've been a millionaire three times. He said, I've lost it. He said, now I'm a millionaire again, and I won't be losing it. But he said, here's what I've learned. He said, don't get too upset about things. He said, don't get too upset. He said, if somebody pulls out in front of you, don't get too upset with them. He said, they'll have their day. That's what he said. So I've always tried to remember that. Of course, I still, you know, I talk a lot when I drive, but I'm talking to the other drivers, of course. But he said, don't worry about it too much. They'll have their day. And you know what we lay awake about on those quick moments like that that you just scare the heck out of us is we don't worry what happened. What we worry and keeps us awake is what could have happened. You know, that's what scares the holy mackerel out of us. It's when we'll go over in our mind like the worst scenario all the time. That's what keeps like, gosh dang, that stupid idiot, they could have killed me. They could have killed themselves. And actually, they could have killed the woman having a baby in the back seat.
Yeah, right.
You know, so it's that's what keeps us stressed to the max is what could have happened, I think. And I know it has me for.
That's where the serenity prayer and other things come in handy. You know, like you can accept the things you cannot change, and you know, wisdom to know the difference between things. But I can control how I feel. I can control what I think for the most part, because if I can control what I think, then I can control what I feel, which then helps me control my behavior, right? And that's for everybody, not just me. Oh man, I was just look, I don't want to perseverate on this, but let me show this. That was me and Chuck Lyle just a few weeks ago. God, yeah. Right here, all ready to be framed. And anyway, got a bunch of little pictures here on my desk here. Share some more next time. But yeah, anyway, so yeah, it's a now moving forward. Did the assessment, got the curriculum, and one of the first coaching assignments was to write an essay, even though it's very early in the coaching engagement, but write an essay to say, hey, what would you have done differently? You know, this is, you haven't gone through the program yet, but just kind of tell me now with what you know about stuff now, what would you have done differently? How could you have handle the situation differently? And then probably 9 weeks from now, I'm going to ask him to do another essay, part of his final exam, to tell me what he could have done differently. And boy, howdy, he better have, you know, even if he had the open book there, he better have the litany of different things he could have done given that situation. And, but the thing I wanted to, you know, this guy was really concerned. You know, he was concerned that management saw him in a negative light. He had a concern that he would never get selected for a promotion. He had concern, you know, he had a lot of negative self-talk, you know, as a result of this. And you know, I had to really continue to kind of empower this guy and say, look, man, I can't speak for everybody in your management team, but for one of them, there's a biblical saying about you turn north, repent, learn this program, do what you need to do, and that transgression will be as far as the east is from the west after a while, you know. And I thoroughly believe that this is a very valued individual and quite simply made a mistake. Big mistake, but we're not our mistakes. We are who we become, right? Ding, ding.
Yeah, there you go. That's good. Good state. That's good.
On command. So part of this goes beyond just the anger stuff, but also coaching. And, you know, and I asked him about geographic areas and what he thought he would do and what would be the next moves. And try to also look at not a past component, but I'm always a big fan of focusing on the near future. Because that's where the goals are in the near future, right? And I don't know how you feel about this, but I don't focus on like the 5-year goal or whatever. I focus on kind of the next one or two moves, you know, because I feel the next one or two moves can radically shape, right, the next moves beyond that. So I'm, you know, for instance, you never thought you'd be here with me on this show.
That's right.
And you knew I had this show back in 16, right?
Yep.
So we talk about it, this and that, you know, but you know what? Things happen. Things happen, and next thing you know, old Wayne Fritz is sitting there running court here.
Just not yes. Me,
but holding court there. So I think that would have never seen that coming, Wayne.
No.
And certainly having you next to me is the most, I am so relaxed. I know what we can do. We can have guests. We can talk extemporaneously. There's always, we have so much life experience and coaching experience. I sleep at night knowing that, we have a partner in crime over there that can roll with the punches, roll with the hips, all that good stuff. And not only that is a true professional with all the experience in the world. And so, you know, it just gives me a lot of comfort. Anyhow, long story short is, right, when I'm doing the goal setting piece, I'm just kind of doing the next couple of moves. So I'll ask you that with your team, how, when you're doing the goal setting with your guys and gals, how does that, what's the timeline on that? Or is that just?
Well, it's pretty much the same as you. I like to talk about WIN in our business. What's important now? Because in our business, it's being, and I guess it would bleed over into other things, but it's what's important now. And that's what I ask him. What's the most important thing now we can do? Because usually people that I'm coaching are having problems with building a team or getting leads. You know, really in sales, you're looking for a place to go always. I mean, that should be your major job. So I get them baby steps. You know, that's another term that I like because I love movies. So what about Bob and baby steps? Yeah. I want to get them up about themselves. You know, I want to give them some power within themselves and for them to find that with something small that they can do in the business. And that's what I talk about, what's important now. And I'll ask them that. And once they ask that, that's what we can just focus. And I know what it is already. They don't have a group, a team, or they're broke, or they're not as profitable as they'd like to be. Let me put that nicely.
And right.
The only way you can get profitable the way you want to be is to go out and do something. And people in our business are more afraid of going through their door than they are about getting in someone else's door. Do you know what I'm saying?
I think so, yeah.
In other words, they can have every excuse in the world to leave home to go do something or to pick up that phone. It's not a good time to call people right now because a lot of them are probably at work. And,
you know, there you go.
You know, those kinds of things. And you've got to get them you just have to bring them a little at a time, but it is, we know what's important now with my people, really. It's always the same thing. It isn't like they're saying, well, I'm trying to find a place I can put some offshore money because I have so much. You know? No. No. It's more just everyday stuff. And I think when it gets out of my business, and just if I'm talking with someone about life, you know, what they want, even if it's not with my company that I work with a lot, it would still be the same thing. Well, what's important to you? You know, they're going to tell you what's important. They're going to talk about family or church or a failed relationship or something.
And start there with the next right decision. The next right decision. Like you said, the baby steps.
Yep.
Two or three of those underway, and then the landscape can change, and your self-talk can change to more positive self-talk. And, you know, yeah, I was just like, it's so funny. I'll tell you an example of this, man. You know, watching like Saturday, we had, you know, an early mixed martial arts UFC fights, and then you had the Texas A&M game, right, which was a marvelous use of time, and then we had the Cowboys game Sunday, which was a marvelous use of time. You add that up, that's quite a few hours,
right? Yes.
And I'm thinking, like, man, you know, I wasted all those hours on watching those games. I could have been doing this or that or the other thing, or some business development or internet stuff or whatever. Oh, you know what else? I talked on my ham radio. That was another thing. I talked on my ham radio for about 3 or 4 hours. I got this whiz bang antenna, and I'm all excited about that. Anyway, the neighbors can't see it. Anyway, I'm only using 100 watts, so nobody's TV is being jeopardized like the old days. But anyhow, oh my gosh. So I had all that up. Shoot, that 3, 4, that's good. 9, 10, 11 hours. And then I have to tell myself, you know what, we're just going to chalk that up to recreation, right? Rest and recharge and Stephen Covey, sharpen the saw, you know, type of stuff. Anyway, so depends on how, you know, your perspective, right? Oh my gosh, you could have been hustling and grinding. You know, now I owe it to myself to relax a little bit, especially with those results. So anyhow, just...
That's what it's funny. We have those guilt feelings when we're doing that. I did. One time here not too long ago, it wasn't the games because I didn't watch all those games. But
you were more productive, is what you're saying.
No. I binged out on a series.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And before I knew it, it's like, what the heck happened?
Burn a day, yeah.
What a wasted day. That's exactly my words. What a waste. And clear into the night, you know, I way past, if my mother were alive, she would have slapped me around for missing my bedtime. No, I'm just kidding. But no, way past my bedtime, and I'm sitting in my eyes, I can't hardly see. And I thought, what, Wayne, Fritz, what in the world did you do? But, you know, I just finally justified it by saying, well, now I know what people talk about when they say they binged watch a series, because I did one. I don't think I could do it again, but boy, I sure did it on that one.
Man,
you can get sucked down a rabbit hole.
You can't. Can.
Like, what was that clown that sucked that little boy down the sewer, the scary clown in It? Anyway, that's how I kind of felt. But we got to reach it. You got to have something like that. You do. You got to. You know, otherwise you could have been bowling or hunting or fishing. You know, I mean, really, it's really all R&R.
So. R&R. Right. So what? No, that's good to have every now and again. Don't want to do that, you know, on a daily basis per se. Unless you're retired or semi-retired, then you can say I'm semi-retired, and I like to throw that flag a little bit since I did retire from one career. I could throw that flag a little bit.
But I'll tell you, Bruce, in my semi-retirement,
I know
I'm finding myself enjoying helping people way more than I thought I used to. And I always have enjoyed it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Just very rewarding.
Very rewarding. I know.
I go back to that coaching certification course that you got me into. You know, I remember a lot of the people in that class. They were gung-ho and they wanted to do stuff. they, but I kind of wonder what happened to some of them. I lost track of them. But you know, you can go outside of your special area, you know, because it is a relationship field. I think even being a life coach or in your field, it's a relationship field. You have a relationship with your client, and I mean, it's separated. When I say relationship, I'm not meaning.
I know what you mean. I know what you mean.
But it's within your wheelhouse.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like out of your wheelhouse. And I think a lot of people that get excited about helping people, they get outside their wheelhouse. They want to help them so much that they force their help on them.
Yeah, and look, I mean that, and you know, this coaching thing. I would like to say that it's not a passing fad. It's already been, you know, a good 5 or so years. It, at this point, it is an unregulated industry, and so, so what really separates the people that are, it's not only their motivation, but they're continuing to act on their passion and motivation. I'm telling you that once I started reading the positive psychology stuff, and I read that coaching manual they gave us, stem to stern, man, page, I read it the whole thing, you know, and several times, but I read it, and it just really did some awakening stuff. And I thought, oh, wow, I can actually do this. I can actually do that. So there were parts of what I couldn't do as a counselor that I could do as a coach. And it was just so, I want to say emancipating or freeing or whatever. Right. But I also knew, from having a counseling practice, that I was going to have to work at marketing the coaching side of me, you know. And the coaching has its own Facebook page. The coaching has its own Instagram. It has this. It has that. You know, it has this show. You know, other types of part of my LinkedIn presence alludes to that. So, and then, you know, continued with that for a good 6 months post coaching training, you know? So I think that some of the folks in there, Wayne, thought like, well, if you build it, they will come.
Yes.
And I bet that's at least 15 to 20%, guarantee you, of any class. And look, I know quite a few people that dropped off. There was a lady, was she in my class? I guess not. Maybe she was in another class. I had a deal in Los Angeles where she and I were going to be the life coaches of these people in Wilshire, on these Wilshire Towers in Los Angeles.
And tell me about this.
And I had the condo management people ready to throw us thousands of dollars to be the exclusive coaches to the residents of these Wilshire Towers. And it would be kind of seen as partly an amenity. And this person backed out. She wasn't confident enough, she said.
Ooh.
I about lost my mind. Yeah, I had to go through my own anger management. Not really. I was,
Did she teach one of the courses?
No, sir. She was not.
Like, I remember you telling me about it. Yeah.
No. She was an instructor. So
okay.
Here. But, okay.
Wow.
But push came to shove and it was time to deliver. And like, I'm not confident. I don't think I can do this. And I was like, oh my God, I wouldn't have asked you. And I told her you have this, you have this, you have this, you have this. I was very clear. I wouldn't have asked somebody like Wayne Fritz. You're sitting next to me. I'm very clear on why I asked Wayne Fritz to be here with me, because of this, 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 this. And I could give you a dissertation on why I want Wayne Fritz with me. Well, same thing with this other opportunity over here years ago, right? Even after I listed all those objective things, they weren't subjective adjectives. Wayne, you have done this, you have done that, your pedigree is this. Actually, she had family. I mean, it was slam dunk, you know. But anyway, you know what? It's okay. Things happen. We picked up our chips. We moved forward. And I didn't, you know, but it was one of those things you want as a male female kind of thing. You know what I mean? You just don't want to go in there and be a one man band. You know what I mean? In that kind of a condo tower thing, you want one of each person, you know, one of each gender or whatever. But anyhow, I don't know why I brought that up, but that was just another example of, you know, how I guess that the negative self-talk, you know, that she had, I didn't see it coming, you know, and she, but I couldn't make her feel good about herself to take that risk. And so, you know, oh, well, there it is, right? You take a coaching class, you think how it's going to be, and then maybe, you know, you have to be kind of flexible, right? I didn't see myself doing my show. I didn't see myself doing the amount of work and some of the other travel that I've done. So, but I just did the first couple of requisite things that the coaching program said to do with the elevator speech, the advertising, get your shtick down on who you are, what you say. I don't want to say pitch, but like, what do you tell other people in a social situation or a chamber of commerce situation or whatever, you know what I mean? How do you do that? And then, man, you know, and I was actually so on fire. I was, you know, I told you, it was you and probably about 15 other people I've gotten to go through that coaching program, you know, and just because I was so lit up on what I think it did for me. But at the end of the day, it's not what it did for me. It's what I did for myself, you know. It helped. It was a catalyst. But just because you take that program doesn't mean you're going to be like Bruce Cameron or Wayne Fritz, right? I mean, because Bruce Cameron and Wayne Fritz, you know, are doing plugging and chugging and blowing and going. It helps, you know, it helps with the framework and everything. But that elbow grease, man, you know,
that's what it is.
But once you get in, you usually get out. So.
You know, that's funny. We're coming to the end of the show, I know, but, you know, it brings up what you just said, brought me back thinking about, in the beginning of the show, I mentioned that actor. Dang it, I wish I could remember his name. But if you can't bring somebody up if they don't want to be brought up. You know, and this lady is a good example of that. She kind of was there. She was on the swimming team, but when it came time to do the match, she all of a sudden lost her
right
her sense of direction.
Yeah, it could have been bringing her up too quick, too much, or you know what I mean. Maybe it was at a rate she wasn't comfortable with. And look, I get it now, 4 years later, whatever, 5 years. But I was just stunned. Stunned.
Yeah, that's interesting. Well, I'll tell you what. But I'm just really blessed with this. I think being in law enforcement a bit when I was younger helps.
That's true.
You know, you're doing things then, and then having my own business where it with salespeople help, because all of a sudden you're kind of their not only are you a mentor, you have those responsibilities to those people. You're not responsible for them, but you are responsible to them. And I think having those experiences, I've kind of gotten my degree in life experiences. That's where it comes from. And in coaching, in life coaching, you know, Bruce, you said you had to market it separately. Yes, and as a life coach, I've said this on several shows, but I always like to repeat this. As a life coach, we have to be careful that we want to stay in our lane. We are a life coach, and we can say, what's the most important thing? Let's work on your goals. Let's work on that. But if it bears off to, they're saying, I'm having a little trouble on Zoom calls. I'm you know, doing sexual things or whatever, whatever. I'm just blowing out some smoke. But then we have to be professional enough, and we have to be smart enough. We have to care about that person enough that we actually lead them to another direction, Bruce. Right. In other words, to a guy like you counseling
or referral, coaching. Make a referral. And I've done it.
Yes. So I just always want to repeat that, because coaching is wonderful. Being a life coach is a wonderful experience for the life coach. And we can really help people with that. But we have to know our lane, and we have to know when to make a referral.
Speaking of, two weeks ago, a gentleman from another corporate thing wanted me to help somebody in his charge as a female. And they directed me to do an initial kind of meet and greet with the lady. I took a lady coach with me. So I told this lady coach, hey, we're going to coach this person in tandem. You know, we're going to be a conjoint coaching team, because I knew what some of the writing was on the wall with this going into it. And that way I could kind of.
Yep.
That stuff.
Yep.
And ladies, and here is my, you know, salt and pepper shaker. Here is, you know, and that way, that's a good way to, one, be a better coach to the client, and two, it just shows the breadth and depth of your service. You know what I mean? And then three, I mean, in theory, it would help with a price point, but we work with that. But anyway, just to reiterate your point about knowing your lane, your limitations, and being ready. Yeah.
Very important.
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. So, how are we doing on time now? Oh, we got just under 2 minutes. So any parting thoughts, Mr. Fritz?
I'll tell you what, it's a very good field to be into, and I encourage anybody and everyone listening to, if you're not in, or maybe you know someone that is natural, and there's sometimes a little natural, you have big ears, you know, where you can listen, but you don't have a big mouth where you talk, really would be, get them on the program, have them listen to Bruce or myself, and then skip hooked up and maybe get you involved.
Help get our clients to the next level, man. And that's what it's all about, is helping get to the next level. So we're, you know, we can certainly help with that. And there's a lot of people out there that can help with that as well. Well, folks, it was another great show today. Thanks for listening to myself and Wayne talk about coaching techniques and experiences. We're going to have some guests coming up here in the near future, maybe as soon as next week, but if not in the weeks to come. We've got some other exciting guests coming for you. So check us out on Apple Podcast, also on iHeartRadio. Shows are also archived on the LA Talk Radio site. You can go to our Concierge Coaches page and just scroll down, and all the shows are there. MP3, the MP4 video, just whatever you want to download, and it's there for you free 24 hours a day. That's how much we care for you, is providing these things for free. And you can catch us on Facebook at Concierge Coaches Show, Instagram, Concierge_coaches. I can be reached at conciergecoach.net. And Wayne, what's the famous email?
How about Wayne_515@yahoo.com.
Awesome. Well, with that, we'll bid everybody have a great and safe weekend. We'll see you here next time on the Concierge Coaches Show on LA Talk Radio. Take care, everybody. See ya. Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Wayne Fritz, only on LA Talk Radio.